We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What is happening on this Tuesday morning on the roast? Good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? Good morning to you. Good morning to all the drivers out there driving safely, as it is a bit windy here in the Bay Area. I felt it coming out of the house today. Felt it on the roadways. Felt it coming out in Barcadero. Good morning to everybody out there trying to get a buck. Congrats to all the graduates out there again. If you're out of school, good morning to all the cops, muni drivers, BART conductors. Come on. You know,
symphony orchestrators.
Yeah. I like that. Shout out to our boy Norm, who's played at an over 50 club at the Olympic Club.
Oh, yeah,
how about
Norm?
Him? Dude, Norm.
Yeah, he's a spin class master.
He is a spin class master. Mondays
Norm.
And Wednesdays. I got to join him on that.
Shout
one.
Shout out Taqueria Zorro.
Taqueria Zorro. He's mad at me. I haven't been there in a while. I said, dude, I'm
the
on a soda diet.
The Alpa Store is so good.
Yeah, it is really, really good.
I got to take a jaunt up to Half Moon Bay today, so I might have to stop by one of my taco trucks on the way up.
And that's not a bad move. That's not a bad move. And of course, good morning to all. Oh, the stiffest. It's a Monday, man. It's a slow Monday. Hopefully you went out there and you stretched that 50 cent to a dollar, man. I don't know. Mondays are slow. We had no baseball last night. Well, I guess you had the A's and Pirates.
Oh, I watched it.
I just like baseball. It's a tough watch.
And then who were the Marlins playing? It was Marlins Rays?
Royals.
Orioles. Was it Marlins Orioles?
I don't think it was no. Orioles.
Royals, yeah. Royals. Yeah.
Which was
Royals. 9-6. But it was a lot of hitting. Boy,
I know.
That boy arise.
He's batting .399.
Yeah, no. He went 5-for-5 the other day against the A's. He's got three. He went 3-for-4 yesterday. The guy may be the modern day Tony Gwynn.
When Mike Kruko broke it down in the first game that he was Tony Gwynn esque, and Mike Kruko doesn't really like say things flippantly when it comes to Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn. Okay, this is going to sound goofy. I went like you see these Tony Gwynn stats.
They're just sick.
They're incredible. The one that to me is the most incredible of all of them. I'm telling you, two strike counts. Major League Baseball since 1988, no one has batted over 265. No one. Mm. All right, no one. Tony Gwynn's over 310. That's with two strikes.
Mm.
Not Ichiro. Not Wade Boggs.
I mean, You ever see his numbers? It is Tuesday. I was just saying a Monday night for the strippers turning into Tuesday. Sorry. I know it's a Tuesday. I said that right off the rip. Tony Gwynn's baseball card. I have a sickness of where if I get a little intoxicated at night, and I don't do that much anymore, but if I get bored at night, I just go down the rabbit hole of just random players, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at their baseball cards. Barry Bonds is the one
where
it's just like, you laugh. You're like, hey, you realize he stole 52 bases in a season in the early 90s? But like Tony Gwynn's baseball card, you see his numbers against guys like Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, John Smoltz. I mean, Tony Gwynn was a god with the bat. And this guy Arise down in Miami is doing it, whether he's batting leadoff, mm-hmm. whether he's batting in a three hole, whether he's batting fourth. He's just a hit machine. I mean, he finds the holes everywhere in the defense.
Doesn't it look like, I think Tony Gwynn, Omar Vizquel had elements of this, but Tony Gwynn was like a whole nother level.
Not yet.
No, but what I'm saying is, when they're batting left-handed, the ability to flip the wrist like a backhand in tennis and just extend it right over the third baseman's head.
You know, I don't even go Omar Vizquel. I kind of go Roberto Alomar Jr.
He was another one. Great ability to take the outside pitch and just flip it over the third baseman's head.
We forgot about him because of the incident with the umpire.
No, and I think he got something. To me, something he's my all-time second baseman.
Yeah, well, something else happened, I think, off the field with him. He just kind of faded away. But he's a Hall of Famer. And this guy, Roberto Alomar Jr., that was growing up. That was our first, like, four go-around in baseball. Young Shasky, young Bonte.
Watching the Blue Jays. To me, he's the gold standard at the position.
He was an automatic hit, it felt like. It felt like you cannot get this guy out. He made plays in the field. He made plays with the bat. He hit with power, hit for average. Yeah. I mean, he stole bases. This guy was everything.
I think that's the greatest double play combination of my lifetime.
Vizquel and Alomar Jr. When they were in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That team was so sick.
I mean, you're talking about one of the great defensive shortstops of all time in Omar Vizquel. Yep. And then the gold standard. And not only was he great for Cleveland, he was amazing for Toronto. He was great.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about.
With
the Padres.
Well, him for the Padres had so much talent. They had all those guys, and they ended up flipping all of them. But like Alomar Jr. with the Blue Jays, that was the peak for me.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Now he was amazing at Cleveland. Yes. Even went on to Baltimore, had a good year.
Yes,
but the Toronto Blue Jay days when they went back to back World Series and his World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Beating the White Sox in the ALCS, you know, beating the Oakland A's. I mean, Alomar Jr. was just a dude. But Tony Gwynn, he was sick. I wasn't alive to see Rod Carew. I heard great things about Rod Carew being a great hitter as well for average and stuff like that. So you see what Arise is doing. And so it was some good baseball on yesterday. It really was. You see Trey Turner hit two home runs yesterday in the game. Like you said this yesterday, it's been a really good season for baseball, I believe. I think it's been a step in the right direction with the pitch clock. Games are breezing by.
Everywhere.
You got a lot of action. Yeah. Guys are still at bases left or right.
Yeah.
I like what's going on in the game of baseball. So, and, by the way, Stafford softball was a great watch yesterday. I didn't watch the last three innings of that one. They had a chance in the bottom of the eighth inning. And then at the top of the ninth, Oklahoma comes through with a two-out, two-strike hit. They win 4-2. But shout-out to the Stafford Cardinal women. And the men's. The men's team beat Texas A&M to move on to the Super Regional.
So let me ask you, because I always hear this from people. What do you think would be more difficult to hit in a batting cage? One of the women throwing the softball or a guy, let's say, throwing 80, 85 miles per hour, just a straight fastball? Because that rise ball and softball is
tough.
So difficult to hit. It wants to saw off your hands.
I thought you were going to go breaking ball, because breaking ball would be very difficult to hit.
Okay.
But that rise ball is tough.
Well, do you know the breaking ball's coming?
If you know it's coming, then you got to
Well, you have a better chance.
Yeah, you got
a chance.
You can't know what's coming.
Yeah.
The rise ball, you can't even know the rise ball's coming. I don't know. They're both tough to hit.
Yeah, my favorite was when like Jenny Finch would go up against Joe's versus Pros, and guys thought they'd be able to rip off her,
she's
just destroy them.
Joe's Pro, they need to bring that back.
Yeah, they do.
Shout out Kitty Caraway.
Except we need to pick random people on Twitter who want to rip athletes, and we'll pluck them out of the Twitter streets and throw them right into television.
Yeah, Twitter. It was good to be off of Twitter last night, to be honest with you.
Did you see the Brock Purdy news?
Well, it hit my alerts. It Matt Maiocco, and I guess we'll start there because the Niners are working out of bed. I got the Warriors on my mind because I was just listening to you guys talk about the Warriors.
I'm just exhausted with the crushing of young players.
Well, it's
I'm exhausted. Be honestly,
everybody's taking Steve Kerr's quote about guys coming to the locker room with a bad attitude. It's not just the youngsters. You don't think Draymond Green walked into that locker room with a bad? He said it on the podcast. Draymond Green walking into that podcast, or me walking into the locker room with a bad attitude, ripping people. It's not just Jordan Poole. Like, we want to pinpoint, because these guys have won championships and we feel loyal to the champions, so we just go straight to the youngsters and rip them. Whatever.
Can I ask you about the loyalty thing? Because I found this interesting. Like, Brandon Belt is doing well right now, and there was some MVP chance up in Toronto. And then I looked at...
Wait, Brandon Belt turned it around?
Well, whatever. But he's fine. I mean, he's got three home runs. We're acting like the guy's dominating. Like, whatever. But, like, there were a lot... And I don't put Brandon Belt on the same level as Draymond, Clay, and Steph. Though I'm sure there are people out there that would make that argument. I'm not going to be one of them. But I was looking at the comments on a tweet talking about him, and it was just Giants fans crushing him. And I'm thinking, two or three years ago, man, Giants fans felt so much loyalty to Brandon Belt, and they did not want to move off him. Right. Heck, 4 or 5 years ago, they did not want to move off of him. And now it's like, eh, no big deal. And he's what I think a lot of Giants fans would say should have been a lifer.
Right.
Fine, whatever. He's not. And then I look at someone like Madison Bumgarner. Now, Bonte, I think there's a healthy debate we can have. Who's a bigger legend for their team and their sport? Clay and Dre or Mad Bum?
Yeah. It's right there.
Right?
It's right there.
They're very close.
Very close.
If you want to go with Mad Bum, I'll listen. You want to go with Clay and Dre, I'll listen to that too. Yeah. I don't even know if there's a right or wrong answer.
I mean, Mad Bum's 2014 postseason is iconic, but you also can't dismiss all the iconic games Clay Thompson's had in the playoffs.
Game sixes.
Game sixes. Just great games. Great playoff runs. Draymond Green just doing what he's doing. But it's an argument now, that's going to be fun in 10 years.
Now, I'll raise my hand. When they were... They went way too far, and they didn't trade him. I'm admitting I was wrong here. I wanted to re-sign Madison Bumgarner, and here was my thought process at the time. You need 5 starters. He's a big body. It'll age well. Andy Pettit pitched because he kind of slings it.
Right.
Andy Pettit kind of pitched well late into his career. Not that Bum and Andy Pettit are like for like, but they're very similar in terms of their build, big lower body. I underrated attitude. And I also underrated that his body was breaking down on him.
Yeah,
right? just straight up.
Well, you can have an attitude when you're at your peak performance, right?
Yes.
But when your skills start to diminish, you better check your tone.
So
you better check your tone to become a better teammate and a better guy in the community, a better just an all around person. And we've seen guys, dude, like Randy Moss at the end. It felt like at times he started to check his attitude,
absolutely.
But then he went to Tennessee, some things happened, Minnesota, and he got around some other guys where it's just like, okay, Randy Moss is not that guy.
Exactly.
But his attitude, it felt like it started to change a little bit. T.O., at times it felt like his attitude started to change a little bit, but when you don't change your attitude, like Bumgarner did. Now look at Madison Bumgarner. There's a lot of teams that need pitching, and nobody's even giving them a call.
Well, and how do Giants fans feel today? Because again, I admit, like, I wanted Mad Bum to be a Giant for life. After they didn't trade him to get back what I felt would be a haul, you know, they missed their opportunity, and I said, all right, let's keep him. I felt a sense of loyalty to Mad Bum. He was one of my favorite players of all time. What he did to the organization was unbelievable. Like, he dragged them to a World Series. They got 6 combined outs from their Game 6 and 7 starters, okay? He dragged them to that World Series. And even in 2016, he won that wild card game. He was amazing. 2012, 2010, he pitches at 20 years old, one of the biggest road games of all time in Giants history. So the point that I'm going at today, are Giants fans happy or do they not even care about Madison Bumgarner not being on the roster?
I don't think they care. I don't hear people even asking about, well, there are certain people when he got released, bring him back for nostalgic reasons. For dirt cheap. But at the same time, if you watch a pitch and you watch his attitude, I think a lot of Giants fans, because I worked at that other station, this is 2016, where certain Giants fans are starting to get tired of his act.
Really?
Starting to get tired of his attitude, saying, okay, dude, enough's enough. Just pitch, because it was the old club. It was, hey, I don't want you bat flipping.
Yeah.
You can't celebrate. We don't want you having fun in the game. Today's game, it's more fun because we're allowing baseball players to show their personality, right? Bumgarner didn't like that. And in 2016, it was still scoffed at to say, oh, Yasiel Puig, bat flipping. Get this bum out of here.
Exactly.
You can't. Wait, this guy,
it has not aged well.
It has not aged well at all for Madison Bumgarner. And I saw it coming. And then it was like, okay, he's losing velocity.
Right.
He's not doing things. And then you read the article in the Athletic.
He's not working out at all.
Not working out.
He doesn't read scouting reports.
Not listening to Dan Heron, who's trying to help him extend his career. And Dan Heron has some damn good years
in
baseball.
Dan Heron was sick for a couple years,
man. I like Dan
Heron. And he had a resurgence in Arizona.
Absolutely.
I actually was a big Dan Heron fan.
I love
Dan
Heron.
So I guess where I'm going with this is, like, Warrior fans, like, at some point, like, I understand the loyalty to the players.
You got to move on from some of these guys.
Well, like, think about it this. If I were to just list the top 50 Bay Area athletes, let's just go down the list. Montana played somewhere else. Ronnie Lott played somewhere else.
Jerry Rice
played somewhere else. Chris Mullin played somewhere else.
Barry Bonds would have played somewhere else if baseball didn't blackball him. He would have been a Tampa Bay Ray.
Exactly. Wilt Chamberlain, Rick Barry. Like, just go right down the list. Willie Mays, Willie McCovey. All of these guys that I deem... Tim Lincecum, one of my favorite players of all time, went to the Angels, for Christ's sake.
Do people realize that Joe Namath once played for the LA Rams?
I thought he was a Charger, too, at one point.
Johnny Unitas was a Charger.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Johnny Unitas. Yeah. Do people know that Kenny Stabler was a Houston Oiler?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you get where I'm going with this? So, like, I understand. It's part of what makes sports different than life. I understand the loyalty that we have to Dre and Clay and Steph and all of that. But you also have to have the loyalty to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and if you're loyal to a fault, you can cripple your franchise
and
set your franchise back 5 years. You can essentially say the Giants got set back by giving those contracts to Brandon Belt, by giving those contracts to Brandon Crawford, by overpaying Jeff Samardzija. And the Johnny Cueto deal, look, he was a good Giant. But for the most part, that contract did not work out.
Let's be real. I mean, he had Tommy John.
Right, let's be real. So when we look at the Golden State Warriors, the way I look at it like this.
Yes.
You have to be 100% sure that you can go down and say, I can contend for a championship with the same regime, with the same core. We all saw warning signs from Klay Thompson, from Draymond Green, where they slipped a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. Enough to question to say, can you really get through the Denver Nuggets? Can you really? Like, we saw the L.A. Lakers tear apart the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers dominated that series.
And right now they're negotiating a 3-year extension with Anthony Davis.
So that's that.
So it's not like he's going to leave, I guess.
The Kings pushed you to a game 7.
And they're going to get better.
And you needed a 50-burger from Stephen Curry. Hell, the Kings had a great shot to go up 3-1, but Harrison Barnes, Fred. This is a wide-open 3, and the rest is history. So now it just feels like if you're going to do something with the Golden State Warriors, and Bob Myers has moved on, and we're going to miss Bob Myers, now it feels like the perfect time to tinker and reset the roster while Steph Curry still has something left in the tank. And he has a lot left in the tank. But what does that move look like? I have no idea. But if you want to give out an extension to Draymond Green, just know that it may not age well. If you give an extension to Klay Thompson, it may not age well.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially in a sport where the salary cap structure is so restrictive and so punishing.
Yep. So you got to get more athletic in this league, and now's the time to do it. And if you do it, we're all going to rip this regime. We're all going to miss Draymond Green. We're all going to miss Klay Thompson. But guess what? They're still going to have statues built.
Well, you're going to get over
still,
it, yeah.
Their numbers are still going to be in the Raptors.
If Bumgarner right now, like let's say he stays retired, and he comes to AT&T Park and gets to walk out onto the field, you don't think he's getting a standing ovation? Did you see Will Clark's 22 retirement?
Right.
Will Clark played for like 4 other teams.
And he left the Giants.
That's what, in free agency.
Unrestricted free agency. Left the Giants and went to Texas.
Exactly. What? And you know what? I actually think that's a very interesting comp because the Giants had a financial decision to make and they chose the Robbie Thompson.
Yep.
And that was the wrong move.
It was the wrong move.
I mean, let's just call it what it is.
And it pissed off Will Clark.
It really did.
And he left. And it took him a while to come back here. But you know what? We all honor him. We all clap for him. Jeff Kitt one day. He's going to come back.
God, I
miss Jeff Kitt.
He was such a good Giant.
I know what he is personally.
He was such
a red ass. That guy's what we want to talk about. Roberto Alomar Jr. Jeff Kitt is a top 7 offensive second baseman in the history of the game.
Well, I think it's him and Ryan Sandberg as the greatest slugging second basemen of the modern era.
Go look at his 5-year run, folks.
And Altuve's going to be putting himself into that category.
Altuve's in that category.
Yeah, he's
going to
put himself in that category.
No doubt. You got to give Altuve.
I mean, he's
love.
Been amazing.
He has been amazing.
He's part of the reason why the Astros were slipping early.
Right, but you know what? Yeah, because he was out.
I know.
And now he's back, and now they're about to make a run. You best believe they're about to make a run.
The same Astros that lost a free agent superstar in Carlos Correa and then played a rookie and won the World Series.
Yep. And don't forget,
wait,
a couple
a young
years
player?
Ago,
on a winning team?
A couple years ago, they let George Springer walk to Toronto.
Right.
How'd they still won a World Series.
I know.
So they're fine. And Bregman, one day, they'll move off from him and they'll find the next guy because they trust their scouting department and they trust their drafting process here. There was one thing I was going to say. Oh, the babying. I'm seeing a lot of, don't baby the youngsters, especially after that Steve Kerr. And we'll replay the clip.
I'm uncomfortable using that phrase with a bunch of men.
Think about
grown
this.
Grown people, you know, adults.
You think they were babying Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moses Moody? They didn't play. All right? Kuminga didn't play in the playoffs. Think that's babying him? That's scolding him. That's punishing him. That's the opposite of babying him. Jordan Poole being babied? No, he was asked to come off the bench once the Warriors got the full strength. He was asked to play with so many different combinations. Nobody was babied on the Golden State Warriors.
Forget your family, because most people are going to go, like, talk about your kids. You don't treat them all the same. What about your coworkers right here in this element? Do you treat Spadoni the same way you treat Lubman?
Absolutely. I try to as much.
I talk to Spadoni different than Lubman because I want to get, because I'm trying to like connect with them and get different things. And
we have
different people.
Relationships, but I treat them the same. I treat them both with equal respect.
Okay.
I respect Lubman as a man. I respect Spadoni as a man. And those are my little
brothers.
I look at them as my little brothers.
I know. You respect them. But like the way Spadoni and I talk is very different than the way Sam Lubman and I talk. Because
Lubman may take a joke differently than Spadoni.
Exactly. And so this whole thing about like, you got to give every one of them tough love and rule with an iron fist. Good luck getting the best out of people in 2023, treating them all identical. Mm-hmm. Like, good luck with that.
Right. You're not going to do it. Because a lot of sensitivity, a lot of insecure. I don't know. It's a lot going there. But when we talk about babying, you could say the Warriors at times handle Draymond Green with kid gloves. And he's a veteran. He's a veteran. I mean, so I don't want to hear the stink about, you know, oh, man, Jordan Poole got babied. How did he get babied? He didn't play much in the playoffs. If anything, he didn't play well, and he sat his ass on the bench. That's the opposite of babying to me. That's just me personally. I don't know the definition of babying. Maybe people have different definitions of babying, but we'll continue to talk about this on the other side. This segment is brought to you by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. What's coming up on the game, sponsored by the law offices of Robert Goldstein. If you have IRS or state tax problems and don't know what to do, contact the law offices of Robert Goldstein, because resolving tax problems is all that they do. Call 1-888-TAX-EXIT, 888-TAX-EXIT. We're going to take more of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We got some news on the 49ers. We got news on the Giants. We got some Warriors stuff. We got it all here on the Morning Roast here on a Tuesday.
When does that crack come into play for you?
Who needs coffee when we have you?
This is Steve Kerr, and you're listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Steve? What's up, everybody? Tuesday morning here on the Roast, and talking about babying players and this and that. And well, we'll see what happens with the Warriors offseason. They have some big decisions to make. And I know we keep overplaying this term, the crossroads, but they truly are at a crossroads. What you do here may set your franchise up for the next 3 years.
Have you ever seen the old Muppets movie, the original one, back in the 70s?
Back in it, it's been a long time.
So they're all in the car, and they're like, hey, when you get to the fork in the road, go right. And there's an actual fork in the road.
Right.
I was watching that recently with my brother's kids, and so, yeah. They're in the fork in the road.
Baby Chaz hasn't gotten there to the Muppet babies.
He's
on the Minnie
Mouse
face.
There are some insensitive moments throughout the movie.
Oh, yeah.
As they go to certain bars.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, leave it at that. Leave it at that.
Waka, waka, waka.
Love Fozzie Bear.
Dude, he was so funny. He was telling jokes when Kermit first met him. It's just really funny. The whole entire premise is there's a guy who wants to do deep fried frog legs, and he wants to use Kermit as the spokesman. Yeah.
So when it comes to the 49ers... I didn't know how to segue there. But,
yeah, sorry. I was stuck on the Muppets.
Yeah,
Did you watch the Muppets growing up?
Sometimes. Miss Piggy, Kermit.
Yeah.
Gonzo.
Gonzo.
Gonzo. So we used to call people with a big nose. Yeah, what's up, Gonzo?
Shout out to big noses.
Yeah, big
everyone.
Noses. Yeah.
I love my chickens.
Yeah, we used to call people Gonzo. Oh, man, you look like Gonzo.
He
Diners.
Was a plumber in the first movie, and so now I'm going to start calling my brother and my dad Gonzo.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't disrespect them, because they don't have big noses. So there's a lot with the 49ers, Shasky.
The Shasky Schnauzer?
There's a lot with the 49ers.
What part?
A lot. Everything. I mean, every day there's new videos, there's sneak pieces, and I thought last year's training camp when I missed it, I was like, damn, Trey Lance's first camp. It's going to be hyped. It's going to be buzz. I don't think last year's going to have anything on this season, if Trey Lance even makes it to training camp. So the 49ers worked out a quarterback named Jack Cohn, who played at Notre Dame in Wisconsin. Now, I'm afraid to say this. Jack Cohn. C-O-A-N. I didn't like what I saw from him at Wisconsin and Notre Dame.
So that means he'll be a superstar.
But I didn't like what I saw from Brock Purdy at Iowa State. Whatever. Jack Cohen got worked out yesterday, and all of a sudden people were trying to connect the dots. Said, uh-oh, Niners are working out another quarterback. What does that mean for Trey Lance? What does that mean for Trey Lance?
Who
Trey
has
Lance
arm on the way fatigue out? In camp?
Oh, my gosh. Does he have arm fatigue again?
Is that a thing?
Oh, okay. I don't know, because I can't get caught up in OTAs and jerseys and shorts and make all these assessments. And now you got – even David Lombardi came out as a voice of reason yesterday and said, look, that's a very complicated drill. Tom Brady airmailed passes during that drill. So now we're all hyper-focused. Oh, Trey Lance missed one pass, blah, 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 blah. But Matt Maiocco came out with a piece last night, and I'm looking at our YouTube chat because we were talking about this last night. Basically, Matt Maiocco was saying that Brock Purdy's going to be ready for week one, and the Niners are embracing that. And Niners are all fully prepared for Brock Purdy to be the starting quarterback because he'll be fully cleared by August 20th, 21st, which gives them...
They're hoping.
Yeah, they're hoping, but...
There's a lot
Maiocco,
of
Maiocco
steps.
Made it seem like... Now, apparently he's walking in the back. I got to catch up on that. But, okay, if Brock Purdy is that guy, are we sure that he's that... Like, I don't even want to say that. If we're just going all in on Brock Purdy, there's a couple things. One, he's making $900,000. If you're Brock Purdy, do you play for $900,000?
Well, I think you have to because of the way that the CBA is structured. You were drafted, and so you can't negotiate your contract and extension until after this year.
Mm.
So you have to.
You have to, almost. What's
no,
is
no,
crazy.
Not almost. You do.
That's crazy.
It's a CBA violation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're under contract.
So that puts a lot of pressure on Brock Purdy to perform at a high level once again.
It'd be like a first rounder, like, for example.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When Patrick Mahomes was drafted in the first round, people after 1 year, after his second full season, but his first full starting season, they're
that's
like,
point,
he needs
yeah.
to renegotiate. And he had to wait. He had to wait until
that's a good point.
After the third or fourth year.
So he has to wait after this season, correct? To get a new deal.
Yes. Which wouldn't kick in until the following year, I believe.
And so that's a big move for the 49ers because they have to make a decision on Trey Lance next year. Do you pick up the fifth year option with Trey Lance? Which would be absurd. The fact that we've been thinking about that now, he's entered his third year.
Right now, it's no.
Right. Right now, it's no. But we just haven't seen him. So Matt Maiocco basically said Brock Purdy's a favorite to start the 2023 season. And everybody went crazy. Everybody went crazy. Said Trey Lance doesn't even have a shot. Hell, the little bit of Willard or Diz I listened to, TC from Sacramento, was losing his mind about Trey Lance. And a lot of what TC said, I agree with. And I'll go to my hill, and I don't want to die on this hill, but I always believe that Trey Lance should have started from day one. From day one, just let him start. He didn't look overwhelmed in the preseason, didn't look overwhelmed in training camp. I would just start him from day one.
Yeah,
and I know some people will say, we're 7.5 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. That was despite the quarterback. Let's not act like Jimmy Garoppolo was great the last 7 weeks of the season. Let's not.
Are we talking about 2021?
2021.
Well, I mean, watch the games, people. Like, the Tennessee game, they should have had the playoffs clinched. The Tennessee game, Jimmy got outplayed by Ryan Tannehill. Do people not remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that game?
Oh, it was the same day Steph Curry dropped 46 against the Memphis Grizzlies, and nobody gave a damn because the Niners lost to Tennessee.
Kyle Juszczyk is still wide open trying to fair catch that pass that Jimmy airmailed out of bounds.
So I thought Trey Lance should have started from day one. I mean, I went down to Dallas, Texas. Debo carried that offense. Jimmy Garoppolo nearly threw the game away to Dallas. And don't give me this crap that Jimmy Garoppolo outdueled Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. We all watched the game. The Niners scored 0 offensive touchdowns. Debo Samuel literally carried your offense. Jimmy Garoppolo was so bad. So bad. Debo Samuel had to run the ball 3rd and 7 for first down to get him in a field goal range.
When everyone knew they weren't going to throw it.
Everybody knew. They didn't even throw it the clinching game against Dallas. They ran the ball and gave Dallas the ball back.
I just don't know how anyone could watch that NFC Championship game that year against the Rams and sit here and make these arguments for Jimmy Garoppolo. He was so bad.
So Trey Lance, has he gotten a fair shake? you know, pro sports is not fair. It really isn't. We saw Alex Smith lose his job due to an injury, and he was playing the best football of his Niners tenure.
But here's what I would say, Bonte. Life's about opportunities. I'm a big believer in opportunities. They will knock. The door will knock. It'll open slightly. It is up to you, the individual. I don't care what you're doing in life. And people are all born with things that they have to overcome. Okay? Everyone's got something going on internally or externally in their life that is going to, that can cripple you. I really believe it. Even the people that you believe are born with everything, they've got something, either a character flaw or some sort of an issue internally. That door opens, you jam your freaking foot in, right, and you make the most of it. So when I look at what Brock Purdy did last year, that door opened up just a little for him. And he jammed his foot in there, and he made the most of it.
Yep.
And he deserves to be in the driver's seat right now. If and when Trey gets opportunities, whether it be at practice, preseason, heck, it might happen week one or at some point during the regular season, because who believes a 49er quarterback is going to stay healthy for all 17 games? I certainly don't.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
When that time presents itself, Trey has to take advantage of it. That's all he can do right now.
I want to dive deeper into this, because there's a Shanahan angle, there's some Trey angles, there's the Brock Purdy's news, and here's the thing. We'll react to this 888-957-9570. Let's open up these 49er football calls here. Football season's right around the corner. Matt Maiocca yesterday, NBC Sports Bay Area, does a great job covering the 49ers. Tweeted yesterday, the recent vibe coming out of 49er headquarters suggests a belief Brock Purdy is the favorite to be the team's starting quarterback.
A belief.
The vibe, whatever the vibe is, suggest a belief Brock Purdy is the favorite to be the team's starting quarterback when the season opens up. When the season opens up September 10th at Pittsburgh.
Was 2 Chainz in there?
2 Chainz was
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
So September 10th, Pittsburgh.
That's just a weird phrasing. The vibe suggests there's a possibility.
A belief that Brock Purdy will start.
So the vibe suggests there's a belief.
So
that's an interesting way
so
of putting
we added,
it.
Brock Purdy began throwing a regulation NFL football May 29th. All right, a few days ago. If the anticipated 12-week ramp-up program holds true, he would receive full clearance on or around August 21st, or 20 days before the regular season opener. So Brock Purdy, the belief, according to Matt Maiocca, is that he'll start September 10th in Pittsburgh. Is that too soon for Brock?
I have no idea.
Is he going to be ready? And what if he's not ready?
Well, you know my setting. You know what? Let's talk about
it on the
other side.
Because there's a few things. Yeah, let's talk about this.
I'm more conservative than others when it comes to this particular injury for this player and this quarterback, if you believe in him like I do.
Well, there's a couple thoughts I have here for the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, and the money aspect of everything with the quarterback and what it means long-term if Brock Purdy does or does not start. There's a lot here. There's a lot here, Shasky. So let's ramp it up here. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises.
JP with the Golden State Warriors. Now back to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Jordan Poole, what's up, man? Did you see him sneak into a Giants game last week?
I did.
That was cool. I had his hoodie on. Good to see him get out the house and take in a baseball game. It was a good game, too. Tried to the Orioles. The Giants lost that day, 3-2? It was a Logan Webb loss.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan Poole, hopefully he's having a good offseason, working out, training. You know, despite everything that Happy did, average 20 points per game in a regular season.
Can you name this artist?
Santana.
Featuring?
Don't know who he's featuring. Just know it's Santana.
Okay, do you know who Matchbox 20 is?
I've heard of them. I've heard the name.
That is the biggest lie of all time.
I've heard Matchbox 20. I couldn't name a damn song of theirs.
This is Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. This is one of my dad's favorite songs ever.
Well, I just
he loves this album.
As Santana. Is it Matchbox 20 album or is it
Santana? No, it's on Santana.
Thomas
the same one with Maria,
yeah.
Maria. Okay,
yeah, Santana. Shout out to Jose Santana, his nephew.
Putting out all kinds of music videos.
Dude, he's ready to go for Niner season.
Oh, come on, of course.
He's ready to roll. He had Chicago lit up. Yeah, Chicago lit.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. So we're talking about the 49ers.
You were talking about money.
Well, not forget the money part for a second. I want to just start with Brock Purdy starting. So let's just say he does start September 10th. And he comes back and struggles. Because we don't know how he's going to look. I would think for the 49ers, if they truly believe, and you've kind of been on this, if they truly believe Brock Purdy's their guy, and I get you don't want to give up games because you want home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I get it. You don't want to mess with that. But if Trey Lance is decent, and he comes in the first two games, and you win the first two games, and Brock's your guy anyway, now it's the best of both worlds. Because say if Trey starts and looks good, and you give the job back to Brock, well, all of a sudden that puts more pressure on Brock to perform, knowing that, hey, Trey Lance just had a good, great start to the season. He is their number three overall draft pick. Mm-hmm. He's the guy they moved heaven and earth for. I need to play well. Because not only do I need to play well, I got a future contract on the line. And if I take this job and run with it, well, I'm going to get paid and Trey's going to be out the door. But Trey puts himself in a position to where, hey, the Niners don't pick up my fifth-year option. I'm going to have options because I did put together a good team in the first couple games. To me, that's the way I would play it as the 49ers. Again, you don't want to give up games early on, but I don't think Trey's that bad to where you're going to give up games early on, right? I don't want to rush Brock back. If he's my long-term solution, I want to make sure that he's healthy, that he's good to go, and that he's my guy. So when he does come back in, hey, all of a sudden, Brock, you got to perform now. Trey's already played well. You want your money. Now's your turn to ball out.
Well, independent of Trey Lance, just independent of him, just – if you love Brock, and I think everybody loves Brock to a degree, you know, like, how can you not? The guy was on fire last year, and the team scored a zillion points. Dude, long-term health is everything.
Everything.
I mean, the worst thing you can do, I mean, this is the organization that rushed back Alex Smith. This is the organization that rushed back Colin Kaepernick with a sore shoulder. This is the organization that cleared Javon Kinlaw on how many occasions?
Multiple occasions.
This is the organization that cleared D Ford how many times?
Right.
This is the organization that rolled back Quan Alexander with a torn pectoral, and he did what?
Reuben Foster.
We can go right down the list of guys who returned too quickly. Remember Okello Witherspoon with the bum ankle?
Oh, I do.
Remember when they kept throwing him out there?
Yep, absolutely.
Now, in a lot of those cases, they didn't have a better alternative on the bench, so I get where they're coming from, and those players were so dynamic, they needed those guys to be on the field. But in this one, like, okay, forget Trey Lance. You got Sam Darnold, too. Everybody's telling me Sam Darnold's good. All right. You can't win a couple games with Sam Darnold.
Wow.
And look, the NFL's hard. So even if Brock is ready to go and you do think that there's a calculated risk or whatever, like, he could lose a couple games early on in the season, too. Who knows? But for me, the number one thing is about if this is your franchise guy, long-term viability from the jump. And here's the other thing. He misses a couple weeks at the beginning of the year. Well, now he takes less hits throughout the year. You know, maybe he's a little slightly stronger and more durable come week 15, 16, 17 and rolling into the playoffs.
So,
like, I don't see what the big deal is of losing your mind to be ready for week one. He misses one game, two games. Like, we did this with George Kittle just last year. George Kittle wasn't ready to go week one. No one talks about that.
Well, there's a part of me, and look, again, I'm going to say this every day because I know how this works. You pump up one guy, and all of a sudden people say you love one guy and you hate the other. I don't hate 80 of the Niner quarterbacks. I think the Brock Purdy story was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he captured everybody. I mean, I'm telling you, my girl is a casual fan and is a casual football fan. She's trying to learn the game, and she's having fun watching it, and that makes me happy. But she's a casual fan. What Purdy did captured her. To the point where she got the jersey, she was chanting Purdy. The first time she saw Purdy, she's like, this is the dude. This is the guy. He reminds me of Tom. Like, casual. My mom, casual fan. I'm telling you about the casual fan I saw at Big Mouth Burger San Bruno, sipping her lemonade. Yeah, the 49ers, they look good. Sipped her lemonade. Yeah, that quarterback's pretty good. And it was Brock Purdy. Like, he captured it. So it's one of the most remarkable stories, and I'm happy for the young man.
It's on par with Kurt Warner. If he ends up being a starter and taking the team to the playoffs every year.
Absolutely. So I don't hate Purdy. I was wrong on him. I'll be wrong again in the future. I've been wrong about a lot of things in life. It is what it is. But Brock Purdy, if he's that guy, then there's a couple things I'm looking at. If he's your guy, then I'm expecting Super Bowl, right? Is that the fair expectation?
He's a second-year player.
Is that the expectation, though? He went undefeated last year.
No.
He went undefeated last year.
They're the only team in the league that you can even throw the SB word around, Super Bowl around, where you don't even know what to make of their quarterback situation. Right. Like, you're hopeful, and you love it, and you're excited, but, like, come on. Like, for example, like, I know Eagle fans are going to say, Super Bowl or bust this year. Let's just see Jalen Hurts have another great year.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know, like, they feel like they're trying to win the Super Bowl, and that's the ultimate goal, no doubt about it. But, like, if Jalen Hurts puts together another remarkable year, wouldn't you say, oh, they got a quarterback for 10 years, dude. They're going to be in the mix every year.
Absolutely.
So that's the same way that I'm viewing the 49ers situation. If Brock Purdy is what we all hope and believe him to be, they'll be in the mix for 10 years.
You know what it is?
Regardless of roster.
Yeah. So you know what else? Well, we hope they'll be in a mix because Seattle's coming. And there's people who think Seattle has a better roster than the 49ers. And I think Seattle, those last two games were closer to what the scores indicated. That wild card game was closer to the score indicated. The second game up there on the Thursday Night Football was closer to what the score indicated. That was there. But here's the other thing. If Brock Purdy does play well, it will signal a change in the 49ers. It will signal a change for Kyle Shanahan. What quarterback has gotten better under Kyle Shanahan?
Well, that's a fair question.
What quarterback has gotten better under Kyle Shanahan?
Certainly not RG3.
Right? And don't give me this Kirk Cousins thing.
He only played like four games.
He played four games under Kyle Shanahan.
Nick Mullins had more starts.
Under Kyle Shanahan than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
This whole Kirk Cousins played well under Shanahan. He played four games.
Can we go back to the Super Bowl thing just for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you because I'm wrapping my head around it. In my view, and I want to hear your view, heading into this NFL season, there's one team that's Super Bowl or bust. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
You don't think the Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl or bust?
No, because I just they get to a Super Bowl. If they get to a Super Bowl, they'll be so happy just getting to a Super Bowl.
They went to four straight and lost all of them.
Do you think they're Super Bowl or bust?
I think they're Super Bowl or bust.
I disagree.
With Stephon Diggs and that core and that defense, Von Miller coming back. They just re-signed Ed Oliver to a fat extension. Yeah. They're Super Bowl or bust. Cincinnati. Super Bowl or bust.
Do you think they are?
They just lost the Super Bowl. They lost the AFC Championship game on a questionable call.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll listen to Cincinnati. I think Buffalo's a tick down. They haven't even been in an AFC Championship game yet.
No, yes, they have. They lost the AFC Championship game to the Kansas City Chiefs when Kansas City advanced to play Tampa Bay.
Oh, I guess they did that year. Yeah, I guess you're right.
They did.
And Cincinnati played them multiple times in a row.
Right.
For some reason, I thought it was three in
a
row.
Buffalo
See, I don't view Buffalo that way.
Yeah, well, I think
they
Buffalo
They have too many playoff losses for me to view them that way.
But they've been so close, and they've been there. And they have a top three quarterback, and they have a top three wide receiver.
Okay, but we're talking about a handful of teams.
Exactly.
Is there any team in the NFC you view that way?
Philadelphia.
Okay, so you put Philly in there.
Philadelphia is in that conversation.
Do you put the Niners in there because they've been knocking on the door?
Absolutely, with their
roster. We've got everybody keeps telling me five teams in the league.
So Cincinnati, Buffalo, Kansas City. You better believe. You don't think people at Baltimore said we need to make a run this year?
They just want to win a couple playoff games.
Nah, I think they need to go. They have big time
expectations. So I think we're loosely defining the Super Bowl or bust. I think every year Mahomes doesn't win a Super Bowl right now, it's like, these are legacy years for him.
I would even throw the Dallas Cowboys in there with Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones is talking that talk about being Super Bowl. So let's hypothetically say six teams.
Okay.
Six teams in the league.
I would taper it like one or two, but that's fine. I want to hear yours.
Buffalo,
I think we just disagree on this.
Yeah, I think we disagree wholeheartedly because Kansas City's right there. They want to go back-to-back. Uh-huh. They have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Buffalo's been knocking on the door. Yeah. They had a home playoff game last year in the snow and got throttled by Cincinnati.
Burrow feels, to me, like where Giannis was a couple years ago.
Well, they had that window, but you got to start paying guys. T. Higgins.
Yeah. Well,
Jamar Chase.
Him and T. Higgins got to get paid the same year.
How many years does Joe Mixon have left?
That's a great
opportunity.
Great question.
That division is getting better now.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh's not going to be down forever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not. They'll be
in the hunt.
They're competitive.
They're
competitive.
I'm with you. I just don't like Kenny Pickett.
I don't either, but we'll see about
him. Even at most, we're looking at like six teams.
The Niners are one of those teams.
Okay.
Are they not?
All those other spots have clearly defined, established, multiple year of excellence quarterbacks. And even Jalen Hurts, it's like a year. It's like a year of excellence.
The Niners are
I love Jalen.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.